Following is a synopsis of the Rebbe's talk given on Shabbos Parshas Tzeitzei, Yudalet Elul, 14th of Elul, Hei Tenase, corresponding to the secular year 1991. The Rebbe begins by discussing a feature that we have every Shabbos. Every Shabbos we read two Torah portions, one for Shachris in the morning, and one for Mincha. For example, this week we read Parshas Ki Tzeitzei in the morning, but in Mincha we begin to read the Parsha of Ki Tzavei, which is the next Parsha in the Torah. This tells us and leads us to the conclusion that since we read both Parshas on the same Shabbos, there must be some thematic connection between the two. But when we analyze these two Parshas that we read on Parshas Ki Tzeitzei, we see that they are actually opposite themes, both in their name, the title, and also in their content. The names are Tzeitzei, which is going out, and Tzavei, which means coming in. Those are obviously opposite concepts. The second point here is about the content. The content of Ki Tzeitzei is going out to wage war. Now, when you wage war, even if you're victorious, it's not a time of peace and tranquility. The Parsha of Ki Tzavei, which we read at Mincha, talks about entering into the land in a state of peace and tranquility and joy, as it says, V'samachta b'cholotev, you will rejoice with all the good. Now, even if we look at the Parshas from the perspective of how we are supposed to serve our Creator, it comes out that the Parsha of Ki Tzeitzei is talking about how our neshama leaves its original place and how it enters into the battlefield of this physical world and particularly of exile. And the purpose for the soul to come down to this world, to have to wage war, is to refine the body and the world around. That's Parsha of Ki Tzeitzei. That's the spiritual idea of the soul sent down into this world. Ki Tzavei al Haaretz, the parsha where we read, when you enter into the land, that's talking about how we serve God in a time when we're dwelling on our land in peace and serenity. That's when the temple was in existence. So the themes seem to be opposite themes from every perspective. Now the Rebbe says this question gets even stronger when we consider the fact that when we read the parsha Ki Tzavei, as you enter into the land, we're talking about not just the entry into the land of any time, but it's specifically the entry into the land with the true and complete redemption. So we're talking about two very opposite periods. Ki Tzeitzei, that we read in the morning, talks about how we're supposed to serve God as Jews in this period. Parshas Ki Tzavei talks about the reward that we will receive in the future redemption. Similar paradox we can also find in the two chapters of Pirkei Avos that we read this Shabbos. Ethics of the Fathers are read from Pesach, and our custom is to read it throughout the summer until Rosh Hashanah. And this week we read two chapters. The first chapter talks about how a Jewish person has to engage in the study of Torah. And it begins with the words, Moshe received the Torah. And then it continues on to give us the teachings of the sages, one of which is V'hamidu tamidim harba, you shall set up, stand up many students. So it's talking about the study of Torah. When we look at the second chapter, we see that it talks about the reward that we will receive in the time of redemption, as the Mishnah states there, V'da, you shall know, Shematan scharim shall tzaddikim la'asad lavei, that the reward for the righteous will be in the future. So how do we reconcile these two different themes? The emphasis of the first chapter is on Torah study, and the second chapter is the reward in the future. So the Rebbe says from this we could draw the conclusion that the Parsha of Ki Tzavei that we read after Parshas Ki Tzeitzei is there to teach us how we're supposed to serve God now in this world of Ki Tzeitzei, and that the Ki Tzeitzei experience has to be in a state of Ki Tzavei, in a state of peace and tranquility. Moreover, even when we serve God within the constraints of Golos, of exile, we already can have the privilege of tasting the reward of the future. And that's why we read in Pirkei Avos, in Ethics of the Fathers, you shall know now, in the present, you shall know, which means you shall feel and taste the reward of the tzaddikim, of the righteous in the future. This point can be found in the Parsha of Kisetzi itself, because we have a commandment there that you're supposed to give your worker his pay, his compensation, in the very day that he concludes his job, which alludes to the fact that even while we're still at work, we already get a taste of the reward of the future. Future is in the present. In order to understand this well, we have to first preface the words of Rashi, who comments on the opening words of the Parsha, Ki seitze lemulchama aleivecha, when you will go out to wage war on your enemy. So Rashi says, what kind of a war are we talking about? B'melchemes harishus, hakosav medaber. We're talking about a optional war. Well, the question is, if we translate this in terms of how we serve a God, how can we call our service in this world optional? A Jew is obligated to wage war and to refine his body and the environment around him. So from here we see the whole idea of reward for everything that we do is also something that needs clarification. When we're talking about the fact that we have the ability to serve, we have an option not to serve, then we deserve reward that we made the right decision to serve God. But when you're talking about a servant who's obligated to serve his master, he doesn't deserve any reward. Well, aren't we, the Jewish people, obligated to serve God? As it says, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim, we, the Jewish people, are God's servants. So why do we deserve reward? So the answer to this question is embedded in the terminology of the pasuk, of this verse, when it says, Ki seitze, when you go out limuchama, to wage war, when the soul leaves its place of origin and comes into this world in order to wage war with the body and the animal within oneself, to refine the world around us as well, the soul is essentially going out of its true location. The place where it existed before the world was created, it transcended all of the worlds to such an extent that our sages say that when God wanted to create the world, who did he consult with, as it were? With the souls of the righteous, because they are one and unified with God himself. Therefore, even though the Jewish people right now are not in that original place, we're in this world, and they have an obligation to refine their body and serve God, but nevertheless, from the perspective of their soul, the whole creation of the world was with their consent. And everything they do is with their consent. That's why it says it's a mochemes harishus, it's an optional war. And that's why we deserve reward. Now, the soul of a Jew that enters into this world, he goes out to war, comprises both fundamental characteristics. On one hand, in order to wage war with the world, in order to make sure that the refinement of the world should be within the world and from the perspective of the world, it shouldn't just be something imposed on the world, but something the world is able to internalize. There's a need that the soul has to descend and it has to enclose itself within a physical body. So when the soul is within the parameters of the world, then it could wage war with the evil and sanctify the world, to go out to wage war on your enemy. On the other hand, in order for a person to be able to sanctify the world and to make it fit so it should be fit for God's, the creator of the world, presence in this world, the world has to recognize where the Jew comes from. It has to recognize the source of his soul that is unified with God himself, and that it's kiseitze, that the soul has left its original place. The world has to recognize that the soul comes from a higher place. And that's why every Jew, no matter who he is, cannot ever be separated, God forbid, from God. Because even here in this world, the soul is something that is still in its full force of unity with its creator. And this is hinted in the parasha of Kisavi as well. On one hand, the soul has to go into the physical world, as it says, Kisavi El Haaretz, when you enter into the land. On the other hand, through this entry into the land, the Jew has the power to sanctify it, to refine it, and to transform it into a virtual Eretz Yisrael, a holy land, to such an extent that the land becomes receptive to be the permanent residence of the Jewish people, who are godliness in its purest form. As the pasuk continues, you will inherit it and you will dwell in it. This is the purpose of the soul, the godly soul coming down here in this world, to transform the world and to render it a dwelling place, a fitting dwelling for God. Consistent with this, we have the reward, the compensation for the service. What is the compensation? That there should be the greatest revelation of godliness that will come about in the time of redemption. That's a direct consequence of what we're doing. It's not just reward, but as it says, the reward of a mitzvah is the mitzvah. We will reap the benefits of the mitzvah that brought godliness into this world. It won't be a mere payment as a reward, but it will be actual compensation for what we've done in the time of exile. However, as we said before, the reward has to be given on the day that you do the work itself. That's why every mitzvah that we do today elicits a very sublime godly energy in this world, which enables the person to experience a personal redemption. It's just the revelation of this godly energy, this godly light, will come about in the time of the future redemption, the complete redemption. And since every Jew has the power to bring the redemption, as the Rambam writes, that every mitzvah that we do could bring the complete redemption, therefore, every Jew, even today, has access to that reward that will be in the future redemption. All we have to do is to reveal it by adding and doing one more good deed, one more mitzvah. And since, even before the world was created, God filled the entire space in which the world was created, and now also, as the neshama descends down below, it has to remember where it came from, that it's a chelik alikah mimal mamish, it's truly a portion, a part of God. And it has to remember what its mission is, that its mission is to bring the revelation of godliness in this physical world. Therefore, even before the neshama begins to start its work, it already has merited to sense the reward that will be in the time of redemption, to have a taste of that reward, because he will feel the revelation of godliness that his neshama possesses even before he does what he has to do in the very beginning of his service. Therefore, the Torah juxtaposes the parsha of Kisavo with parsha's Kiseitze in order to clarify that even when we are in a state of war, waging war with our body and its animalistic tendencies, one should know that there's nothing to be deterred by that, nothing to get excited about. We can fight this war in a state of peace and tranquility, provided we remember the state of the world before the creation and the way it will be after the redemption, which means that there was exclusive godliness. If that's the case, there's no reason to get excited from whatever goes on in the world, because through our work in this world, we could reach the highest levels, even within the time that we're still doing our service, we're still doing our work. We could reach the most transcendent levels, levels that transcend the world. Moreover, the work that we have to do has to be done with menucha, with peace of mind. Literally, we shouldn't be disturbed by any type of material concerns or spiritual concerns. It should be done in a state of harchava. We should have ample of everything that we need to fulfill our mission, which is to change the world. That's one reason we need to have all of our resources. And also as a reward, as a payment for the work, as we just said before, that the payment has to be given even in the day that you do the work, even in the present. Now this connection of the reward of peace together with the work itself, which the two parshas seem to convey to us, is connected to the month of Elul in which we are now situated. In the month of Elul, we all know, is a time for stock-taking. What is left for us to do in serving God in terms of what we did not yet accomplish in the past year. When do we finish that? We finish that in this month, and we also prepare for the new year. So in 1 month, we have the reward for what we did in the past. We also have the beginning of a new year's work. The reward for the work expresses itself also in the Rosh HaTevis, in the acronym. The month of Elul is an acronym for the four words, Ani Ledodi Vedodi Li, I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. The fact itself that we have the privilege, that we are connected to the Eibishter, we cleave to him, he's called Daidi, my beloved, someone who's close to me, that is the greatest reward. That's the marriage of the Jewish people with God, which will happen with a true and complete redemption. Kasha tinase malchus shemelech HaMashiach. Mashiach's kingdom is referred to as tinase. It will be exalted, but the word tinase is also related to the word nisuyin, marriage. And incidentally, the Rebbe said, this is connected to this year, the year in which the Sicha was said, which was the year tinase, which is connected to the fact that Mashiach's malchus will be exalted, and it's also connected to the nisuyin, the marriage of God with the Jewish people. If so, the Rebbe said, the month of Elul in the year tinase, Hey Tinase, is the most appropriate time for the true and complete redemption in this very day. In the month of Elul itself, when the Rebbe said this Sicha, it is the 14th of Elul. The 14th of Elul has two characteristics. Number one, it's Erev, the 15th of Elul, in which there is a full moon, and the full moon is an allusion, a hint, to the perfection, the state of perfection of the Jewish people. The Jews are likened to the moon, and that will take place with a true and complete redemption. So the 15th is a symbol of redemption, of complete redemption. And number two, the significance of the 14th of Elul, that it's 30 days before the festival of Sukkot, designated as Zman Simchaseinu, the season of our rejoicing, which combines the most perfect state of our work. As it says, Yismach Yisrael Ba'esav, Israel, the Jewish people, will rejoice with the one who made him, and it also reflects the reward that God gives us, as it says, Yismach Hashem b'maisav, God will rejoice with his handiwork with us. So it's a dual type of joy. Sukkot is plural, Zman Simchaseinu, because it's the joy that we have from our service, and the joy that God has, and therefore rewards us for our service. Now, in our generation, there are other characteristics, other qualities that are associated with the 14th of Elul of Shabbos. Because Erev Shabbos, which is the 13th of Elul, is the day in which the previous Rebbe got married. And the Wednesday before that, the 11th of Elul, is the day of the marriage of the Rebbe Rashab. And on Sunday, which is the 15th of Elul, is the day that the yeshiva of Taim Chetmimim opened up. So all these events are connected to redemption. Marriage, the days of the weddings that took place, even if it would be a wedding of just any individual, it's connected to the idea of the wedding of God with the Jewish people in the time of redemption. How much more so when we're talking about the marriage of Nesiyei Chabad, the leaders of Chabad. The fact that the yeshiva opened up on this day is connected to Geula as well, because Taim Chetmimim, the name of the yeshiva, is a place where you have to learn not just Nigla, the revealed Torah, but it's also the place that was founded to learn Pnimius HaTorah, the teachings of Chassidus, in a way of understanding, just like we study Talmud. That's the way it'll be in the time of redemption, because as the Rambam writes in the very end of his work, in that period all of Israel will be great sages and they will know the hidden, the esoteric matters. That's something that we do now when we study Chassidus. In addition to that, the function of the Tamimim, of the students who are called Tamimim, is to wage war against all those who try to undermine Mashiach. And the Rebbe says, incidentally, this function, this mission has already ended. That means we're already beyond that, and therefore they will bring the Geula. Now, in practical terms, the Rebbe says, well, we should publicize the following three things in every place. Number one, that we are at the end of our service in this world and we're standing at the beginning of the period when we get the reward for all of our efforts. And we have to conduct ourselves consistent with that realization. This number two, the second thing that we have to publicize all over, the function of Temchet Mimim, the yeshiva, is to be Neiris Lahoyer, lights to illuminate the world. And every house has to become a Temchet Mimim, has to emulate the work of the yeshiva Temchet Mimim. And number three, the third thing we have to publicize, that this is a time, since we're before the holidays, to give to all those who are needy whatever they need for Rosh Hashanah and for Sukkot. The main thing, the Rebbe says, and concludes, that the complete redemption should already come, take it from Miyad Mamish, literally, imminently, now. And now to summarize the synopsis. When we read the two parshas on the same Shabbos, which we do every Shabbos, of course, there must be a connection between them. The same thing with Chiseitze that we read in the morning, and Kisave, which we read after Mincha. There must be a connection between them, but if at the first glance, they seem to be very opposites. Tetzeh is talking about going out to wage war, the war that every Jew has to wage to refine the body and the world. Sove talks about entering into a land in a state of peace and tranquility. And it talks about the reward that will be in the future, redemption. So that seems to be at odds with the idea of fighting the war and doing our efforts now in the present. And the Rebbe explained that we can answer that by asking another question. Rashi says that the war that we're supposed to go out to wage is an optional war. Now, how do we translate that in terms of our war against evil, the war with our body and our animal soul? Isn't that mandatory? Aren't we like servants that we're obligated to serve our master? We can't get paid because we chose to do the work? So the Rebbe says no. In truth, the neshama of every Jew transcends the world, and the whole creation of the world was based on our choice. Because it says that God consulted with the souls of the Jewish people, of the righteous, before he created the world. So when we talk about the work that we do from the vantage point of the source of our soul, which we all possess, we are here by our own choice, of our own volition. It's reshus, it's optional. Therefore, we are entitled to reward. And that's why we read the Parsha Kiseitze and Kisave in the same Shabbos, because Kisave teaches us that even when we are in the state waging war in this world, the way we fight this war, the way we perform our work, is in a state of peace and tranquility. Because a Jew is truly beyond this world. And even when he's in this world, he still possesses the neshama, the soul that is a part of God, literally a part of God. And when a Jew remembers that, he could wage war without any hardship, without losing composure, in a state of peace. Physical peace and spiritual peace. Peace of the body and peace of the soul. And as we're doing the work, we're already reaping some of the rewards that God's revelation, which is the purpose of our mitzvahs, has already taken place in this world. And the Rebbe says that the deed is the essential thing, so we have to publicize all over that we are now standing at the end of the period where our efforts were required of us to bring about the Geula, and we're already at the beginning of the period of reward. And consistent with that, we have to do everything permeated with the spirit of Geula by learning about Geula with a state of joy. And the Rebbe said we should also make Fabrengens, Chassidic gatherings, in which we experience that upbeat and joyous feeling. And the Rebbe also gave special instruction to Temchet Mimim, to the students who study in the yeshiva Temchet Mimim, that they should be lights to illuminate the world, and every Jewish house has to become a virtual, a veritable Temchet Mimim, a house of Torah, a house of prayer, a house of acts of kindness. And particularly, just like Temchet Mimim, there has to be a focus on the study of Chassidus. And the Rebbe also said that there should be an effort to provide all the needs of the holidays to all those who need it, because 30 days before the holiday, 30 days before Sukkot, and it's even closer to Rosh Hashanah, all their needs should be taken care of. Now, the excerpt from the work called Besuras HaGeula, where the focus is to excerpt the Rebbe's teachings and practical teachings about preparing ourselves and the world for redemption, the Rebbe includes the following, that we should, amongst the instructions, the Rebbe said there should be also making Hasidic gatherings, joyous ones, and they should be connected with the joy of marriage and the 7 days of celebration, and that should include also strengthening the Jewish custom to make a special meal for the poor, because this is a sample of a preparation for the fulfillment of the prediction, the prophetic prediction, that in the future our mouths will be filled with laughter. So we have to prepare for that right now with this type of simcha. And in this generation, the leader of our generation, the Rebbe referred to the previous Rebbe, whose second name is Yitzchak. Why Yitzchak? Because Yitzchak comes from the word tzchaik, laughter and joy. He is the eighth leader from the Baal Shem Tov. And the word oz in that verse, oz yimale, oz has a numerical value of eight. So through the tzchaik, the simcha, through this joy of the eighth leader, that will give us the power to yimale tzchaik pinu, that our mouths will be filled with laughter, not just in the future, but in the present. And the second thing the Rebbe said, to publicize in every place that we're standing at the very end, and the seal of masenu v'avedosenu, of our deeds and our service, which is to go out to wage war against your enemy, on your enemy. And we're at the beginning of the period of the reward that we're supposed to be given, the reward for the righteous, which is kisavei al haaretz. We enter the land and we inherit and settle the land. And consistent with this, whatever we do now has to be permeated and has to include the things that we do that are connected to Mashiach. And that begins with the study of Torah with regard to matters of Mashiach and redemption and the Beis HaMikdash.